My name is Gary DeFore, and I have a documentary in the making. It's called Atomic Veterans Speak. And years ago, I worked in Congress in the late 70s, early 80s, U.S. Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs for Senator Alan Cranston of California, the late Alan Cranston. And we worked on the Atomic Veterans. The name was coined several years ago. These are former soldiers who basically were used as guinea pigs for the atomic and then the hydrogen bomb nuclear tests in the South Pacific Marshall Islands and also in Nevada, Utah, and especially New Mexico. And when I was on the committee, we were having numerous phone calls coming in from distressed veterans and their wives about several cancers they firmly believed were caused by radiation poisoning of all these tests. And many of these former soldiers actually had witnessed several tests. As a matter of fact, right outside my door now, I have an 85-year-old atomic veteran that experienced both atomic and hydrogen bomb experiments, and he actually worked at them. And he has now Parkinson's disease and several types of skin cancer. I don't want to go through all the names right now. And I'm going to be filming him. And I copied all of these letters from veterans and documents from the Defense Nuclear Agency, which was under the auspices of the Department of Defense. And I was shocked, all that I was privy to these secret, to top secret, to confidential reports that were coming across my desk that I had to go over and send to another professional person much higher up than I to work on. What we were working on, we were the first pioneers ever in the United States Senate and House to recognize, respect these now veterans that were, well, guinea pigs for these atomic tests, and they were being denied health care by the Veterans Administration in the 70s and early 80s, and rightly so, because there was no records kept of these tests. And also, it was still, I believe, secret at that time.
What do you hope to accomplish with this film?
What I hope to accomplish with my experience in this area, if you will, back in 79 to the early 80s, both on the committee and as a reporter for Stars and Stripes, I put all these papers away and I opened them up 2 years, 3 months ago and was shocked all that I had. So I decided to do a documentary on the living atomic vets. And by the way, the youngest age, not the average, the youngest is now 79 years of age. I decided to interview them and talk to them about how many tests they were at and what they were told and what they were not told, and then any cancers throughout their lifetime. I'm going to let the atomic veterans speak for the documentary after I do an introduction, of course, of what our committee did years ago. And I'm going around Massachusetts, New York, and Vermont right now giving talks. And from these talks, I am picking up atomic veterans to interview. And I'm just honored to do this, and I will do it. I've never done a documentary before. I've worked in the movie business, but I've never done this. And I'm being extremely well received by the atomic veterans. Again, youngest age is 79, and my oldest one now, he's well into his 90s.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Well, I was in the Army. I was a combat chaplain's assistant in Vietnam, the 101st Airborne. And believe me, if you will, all types of soldiers, and I mean this, all types, would come to our office, well, office, probably was a bunker way out in Vietnam, and talk to the chaplain about problems. And I noticed when you brought up LGBT that out in combat, most soldiers don't care about your sexual orientation. The deeper, the hotter the combat, you were there to work together. And the chaplain and I noticed that. I mean, you were out there. We were one solid team. It doesn't matter your sexual orientation, or years ago some people will say your sexual preference. And I came across several, not only gay soldiers, but bisexual ones. And I always thought the military was at least 20% gay and bisexual. And the gay soldiers, bisexual and lesbian, they're not only fighting for their country, even if they're stateside, but some of them obviously are putting up with harassment right within the ranks. Those soldiers have a lot on their shoulders, and they're still doing a darn good job.
Tell us again what the name of your documentary is, and where are you in finding more of these atomic vets?
Atomic Veterans Speak. I want to hear from these wonderful gentlemen, these heroes. Everyone's been telling me they're heroes, so I'm using that word. Remember, they were in the service doing their jobs, and literally they were forced to watch these nuclear tests going off both on land and sea. And if you're on a ship, you had to watch them. And right now I'm doing speaking engagements, and I am finding a few of these atomic vets, and I need to find more. I really would like to get out there nationally and find more, and I'm going to interview them, and that's by documentary. It's their chance to talk. And in 1996, President Clinton and his Secretary of Defense, William Perry, did a directive that now all atomic veterans could talk about being atomic veteran, which includes hydrogen veterans, so they could get Veterans Administration benefits. And so that's a directive. We can talk about it. And I need to find more of these atomic vets, and I need to get this documentary moving, because they're dying every day. And half of them that I've been talking to presently have cancer. Now, did it come about from radiation? Well, we'll let the atomic vets tell that in the documentary.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
My mantra would be, keep moving. Keep moving and speed up. Do a good job, but keep moving. I'm getting older. Of course, I'm not old enough to be an atomic vet, that's for sure. But getting older, I still have my tremendous energy, mentally and physically, hopefully. And my mantra is keep moving, don't stop.